Okay, maybe
that's
old
a story for another time.
Okay, we'll just leave that there. I'll leave the audience on a cliffhanger.
Next question.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome back to the Making Magic Podcast. I'm Sean Jay, your host, and I'm a professional speaker, magician, and 3D designer. And this is all about inspiring interviews with the movers, the shakers, the visionaries, and the makers. The wizards behind the curtain that make the magic for you. Now, if this is the first time tuning into the show, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to watch this stuff. It really does mean a lot to me. This is a labor of love and a project that passion. So when you choose to click the subscribe button below because you know you want to, that is how you do it. That's how you support the show. Maybe you've already subscribed to the show. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for supporting the show. Maybe you just listening to the sound of my voice on and a podcast app like Spotify, or we just got listed in the Apple iTunes podcast app thing, you know, the purple icon on your phone, your watch, or your iPad. If you go there and you search Making Magic with Sean Jay podcast, you'll find me there. And you can download, listen to new episodes, and hopefully you're enjoying the show and maybe you'll decide to give us a healthy 5-star review, which would be greatly appreciated if you do rate and review the show. So now let's learn about our next guest.
Jeff McBride is a master of the art of illusion and one of the most awarded magicians of our time. For over 40 years, Jeff McBride has adventured around the world, seeking the secrets of real magic. Now, you can join Jeff in his Las Vegas home for this interactive experience. Experience the mind-expanding mysteries of Jeff McBride's Magic Quest.
Hey Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Making Magic.
And welcome to the Magic and Mystery School in Las Vegas. You've been here many, many times over the years, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. Here we are. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share some of your story and stories and things that my audience can learn from the master teacher that is Jeff McBride. One of the many facets of Jeff McBride, of course, and we'll probably talk about that during the interview, but I'd like to open with, I'd like you to share with my audience the story of the very first thing that you have ever created or something that you ever made. And this can be good, bad, and funny stories are always welcome. So we're talking about creativity.
The first things I ever made were out of magic catalogs. When I was about 7, 8 years old, I got Boys Life magazine, scouting magazine, you know, being
okay.
And in the back, there was magic. Well, I thought they were magic books I was sending away for 25 cents to the Top Hat Magic Company in Evanston, Illinois, or Vic Lawton's House of a Thousand Mysteries in Florida. And what I got were magic catalogs. So I would just read the descriptions and then try to make the tricks based on what I could figure out. And that is how I made a lot of my magic. I just needed plots. I had a few magic books at home, you know, things from the library, Bill Severin books and Walter Gibson books that had illustrations. And I devoured these books and as much as I could read. But my earliest attempts at making magic were reading descriptions and catalogs like the Mini Azra Floating Woman, which was a little tiny couch with a like a Barbie doll thing, and it had this great illustration of a magician putting a little cloth over it and it floating into the air. Now, there wasn't videos back then, it was all illustrations. And as Eugene Berger, my master teacher who I studied with for over 30 years, would say, magic catalogs are selling dreams.
It's true.
So here we have these incredible illustrations, and some of the illustrations are just incredible. And they would get my mind going, and I would try to build these things out of tissue boxes because a tissue box has that little well in it and they're already built in.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
made my own little version of this out of a devil's handkerchief, out of a couple of bandanas and what I could figure out. And that's my first attempts at making, was being inspired by the catalogs and then just figuring the methods out myself.
That's really cool. It's actually almost better that way, because it really forces you to get creative, because when you're not given any instructions on how to make it, it's just almost the sky's the limit, because it's up to you to use your own brain and say, how can I go from point A to point B? And then you create your own way.
My cardboard version of the mini Azra was probably equally as ineffective at deceiving an audience as the real one that you would get.
Okay.
It was all stepping stones. And then years later, I'm in Las Vegas performing the Azra, you know, with full assistance and stage. So it's a stepping stone, but it sets your mind on a vision of what can be. So
yes.
Building prototypes is what I am all about. I was never really good with angles and miter boxes and cutting things exactly in precision. I just wanted it done. I wanted it out of my head.
Right.
I skipped even putting it on paper, and I would just cut and saw, and my prototypes were awful. But they got me to the next stage. I mean, I built a travesty of a vanishing dove cage. I mean, I didn't cut or measure. I just took wood and started putting stuff together. And this thing, thank God I didn't put a dove in it. It would have not have been a happy sight. But eventually my vision and drive to manifest this thing ended up with, you know, years later, I got a Norm Nielsen vanishing dove cage. I saved my pennies. And this became the feature in my act for many, many years. But it was the desire and the drive to bring an idea into reality.
Got it.
By whatever means possible. And that means you got to act. There's the three, as Isaac Bonwitz is an esoteric scholar, and he wrote this wonderful, fun book on magic, ritual magic. And mm-hmm. he says that there's the three M's, the mantra, the mandala, and the mudra. First, you have to say it in your mind. Second, you have to draw it on paper. And the third, you have to dance it out into the creation. And if you think about it, everything that has come into existence has come as a thought and then as a word put on paper or somehow rendered into some form. And then there's the dance of creation. The mudra means body shape, and that means the dance of going to the hardware store, getting the wood, the dance of sawing the wood, putting it together. So even something as simple as a chair.
Oh, yeah.
Start as a thought, and then you have to say chair. And now you have to draw it out and plan it out. That's the mandala. So the mm-hmm. mantra, the word, the mandala, the drawing, the design. And the third is the dance of creation. And that's where a lot of people fall down. They think, they desire to desire, but they don't want to do what is it? Edison said that it's, you know, inspiration and perspiration.
Yeah.
You know, both.
Yes, yes. Yep. That's why there's so many great ideas out there that never see the light.
And, you know, I have wounds from trying to make magic. I almost cut my thumb off with an X-Acto blade when I was a kid. I was so passionate. I wanted to make a topsy-turvy bowling pin because I saw it in the catalog, and I think I figured it out. And I did actually figure out the method. And I got some plastic bowling pins.
Plastic, yes.
And I nearly cut off my hand. But it taught me a lesson, you know. You got to have the right tools. And I never had the right training or the right tools. I had the desire, the ambition, the vision. But now I realize people need training and they need the right tools. And that's where I fell down. But the people that helped me pick back up were friends and builders that could help me build prototypes and build prototype after prototype. I mean, even as something as iconic and signature as my exploding mirror started as... I mean, I needed it now. I had the idea, and I used just the bottom of a duck pan that was reflected to be the mirror.
Interesting. Okay.
Over the years, I built many, many complicated versions, and now I'm back to a very, very simple version again.
You've done your dance already, and now you've completed the full circle.
Yes, that's right.
So yeah, that was great. I mean, you certainly learned a lot from doing the dance and going through the process, and I'm sure during one of those many attempts at making prototypes, you've had many failures. Some people call them failures, some people call them stepping stones to success. But if there's a moment in your mind where you could think of, like, what's your biggest DIY fail of all time that you can remember?
Absolutely the birdcage that I spoke about. That was absolutely the worst thing I ever made.
Okay.
I realized I didn't have the training nor the tools or the expertise to build it. And you have to be somebody like Norm Nielsen, or now Lupe Nielsen, who's trained, you know, Okido trained Norm, and Norm trained Lupe. And
yeah.
There's a tradition and a legacy here of great builders. So now they say, stay in your lane. And my lane is being a visionary and having drive and desire. And now what I do with my students is I help connect them to the very best illusion builders in their price range.
Nice, nice.
Don't take somebody that's having a little idea and hand them to Johnny Gaughan.
Right, right.
You need to, like, okay, let's get this into, like, a working order. Let's build some prototypes. And I have a lot of folks around Vegas that are really good at prototyping. And then if you want to upgrade, there's many people in Vegas and around the world that you can call on to bring this thing to a super level of excellence.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the many benefits that students get when studying with you. You have this whole catalog Rolodex in your mind of all these people and contacts, and your students benefit over time. Just, you know, questions are asked, and then you can go through all of these different names and say, I can match that person with this person. Then it's a good fit to help them in the next step of their career, which is
my goal is to shave years off of people's learning curve, to connect them to the experts as soon as I can, and save them tens of thousands of dollars in unnecessary expenditure.
That's great. That's awesome. And I think people, that's basically, you know, what a good mentor should do for his or her student. And it's nice that you have this institution that's there, and it's there all the time. And anytime anybody's ready to take their career, take their magic to the next level, that's when Jeff McBride kicks in and provides major value there, for sure. I can attest to that. And so the Dove thing, that didn't work. But I mean, clearly you found your niche. You found ways to incorporate many different art forms into one, which allowed you to become known for a certain type of magic. And then you found your lane, and I'm willing to bet that when you were creating these things with masks, and once you started getting there, you've had many accidental discoveries that turned out to be amazing. Is there perhaps an accidental creation that you can think of? You're just messing around, and all of a sudden, boom, this accident happened. You said, oh my goodness, that's got to go in the show, and it's been there ever since.
A lot of those type of happy accidents happen not only in the creative process, in the fabrication, but also on stage.
Yeah.
The way a prop handles, just working with different, let's say, materials for card scaling. I do different card scaling. And then one happy accident, I tried a new technique and tried a new material, and I got the cards to bounce off the floor in a rehearsal one day, and that was a major breakthrough. But it was a breakthrough in materials, not just sleight of hand, which I cannot say anything more, since this is not an open, we're not revealing secrets here. We're preserving secrets and passing information on. So yes, I've had a lot of happy accidents, both in the fabrication and in performance.
Mm. Okay, and so one of the main ones you would say is the card bounce off the floor. That was purely...
That was pretty major.
And it was purely accidental. You were doing
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. I was rehearsing with a new technique, with a new material, and the material allowed the friction on the card to propel it at a much higher rate. And I talk all about this on Zoom Bounce and Fly. So if you're seriously dedicated to studying this or following this down the rabbit hole, I just pointed it to you.
Okay. There'll be a link to that in the description of the video and the podcast, guys, if you're interested in checking out Zoom Bounce Fly. What about people? I mean, you've studied with so many legendary people over the years. I mean, things that I can remember from your story, going way back to working at Flosso's Magic Shop and meeting people like Frank Garcia, and many, I'm sure you've probably met Harry Lorraine. He must have passed through there because that's up in the city. And you also studied with Jeff Sheridan back in the day. And there's probably multiple people that would fall under this category, but who could you name off the top of your head that inspired you to be a maker, more of a maker, rather than just a performer, or maybe you were always like that. Maybe you were always just kind of, if you needed something, you made whatever it took to get that desired effect.
It wasn't any one magician that inspired me to be a maker, because most of the performers that I was attracted to were sleight of hand performers. And I, because of necessity, had to travel with all of my props in New York City, which I moved to right out of high school. You have to get everything in a taxi, else it doesn't go. So my props had to be small. So it wasn't like I was carrying around a lot of livestock vanishes and where do the ducks go and duck buckets. And illusionists and big stage magicians really operate in rural communities. They come out of Michigan. They come out of like the Abbott's farm country, where the people like Brett Daniels and Kevin James and people that have barns and big trucks in inner city New York, inner cities breed parlor magicians and close-up magicians. But I had a hankering and a vision to work the big stage. So I had to create pack small, play big visuals, and I concentrated primarily on the masks. I had found my niche in my teens with the masks, and then developed that through studying martial arts and pantomime and going to the American Mime Theater. And so I focused on the masks, which were relatively lightweight, gave me persona changes. I could wear lightweight costumes and kind of fill the stage with color and movement and silks and ribbons and confetti and streamers and cards. So I found a method of creating magic that suited my lifestyle and traveling and performing conditions.
So it was more of a collective experience, knowing, just going through the experience of, being in the city, and basically it was your goals. You had set goals ahead of time, like, this is what I eventually want to do. You eventually wanted to be doing more of the big stage stuff, but due to traveling in the inner cities, you had to adapt, and therefore it gently pushed you in the direction of, okay, what can I pack a little bit flatter but still has the proper, meets all the check boxes for my end goal.
And big wooden boxes didn't fit the traveling conditions, so those weren't in the act.
Right. And the masks, did you ever have to, was there ever a big moment where you had to repair any of those masks prior to a show? Like right
one
before
of the
a show?
One of the things that I learned, oddly enough, I learned the phrase from Arian Black when she was giving a lecture at one of our classes years ago. She said, if I can't fix it, it's not in the act.
That's a good.
So I travel with a repair kit, so I am not at the mercy of other creators. And most of the stuff that I use that is electronic at all is so solid state, I have replaceable parts for it, or robust enough that it doesn't break, or if it does, I travel with replacements. So I have many contingencies. But a good rule of thumb is if you can't fix it, don't take it.
Yeah, good advice. Nobody ever wants to get stuck. Nobody ever wants to be left hanging or scrambling at the last minute.
You know what? Even with that said, there has been many times I've been crawling around the bowels of the lower decks of the cruise ship looking for the electrician or carpenter to fix a prop between shows on a cruise ship. So it's like, it's still with the best plans, you still have to rely on those last minute emergency people, and you forge lasting friendships and see things you've never seen before in those lower decks of those cruise ships.
Okay. Maybe
that's
old
a story for another time.
Okay. We'll just leave that there. I'll leave the audience on a cliffhanger.
Next question.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing that you're working on creating right now? Your favorite creation,
well, my favorite
Jeff McBride.
Creation right now, as far as making is my Zoom studio, because I can reach thousands and thousands of people around the world, and I do each week on Mystery School Monday. Now, Zoom and other online platforms are new to people, but we've been doing it for 11 years now. We've been broadcasting on live stream or other platforms, or now Zoom, to the magic world, and I put out 1 hour each week of original content. While other people are exposing magic on TikTok at the speed of light, I put in another track, and what I've done, I've committed myself to doing serious study and education of magic at Mystery School Monday, and which every month we have a free episode. Next month episode is Jonathan Pendragon. He's going to be our special guest.
Excellent.
Last week was John Carney talking about parlor magic. So we have celebrity magicians and deep, thoughtful conversations. And then the rest of the month, we have members only, which we talk about the secrets and we talk about technique. And we also teach magic each episode. Tonight is a members only episode with Ricardo Rosencrantz and Dennis Watkins. But if you go to McBrideMagic.tv, McBrideMagic.tv.
There it is. Yep.
And you will be able to see dozens of back episodes for free. This is our gift to the magic community. And it's deep, thoughtful, stimulating conversations from some of the top minds in magic.
And excellent.
For you.
Excellent. Well, I believe you're the only person that's kind of been doing that on a regular schedule for so long as something more meaningful to the magic community, like you said, rather than just instant gratification for the eyes. You're always all about going deep and understanding the why, the how to make everything mean more and stick with people rather than just a fleeting thing that they're going to scroll by really fast and forget in 5 seconds.
Yeah, so. I think today's generation of magicians is fixated on becoming famous before they become excellent.
Ooh, that's powerful. I'm just going to leave that right there. That's
and the difference between my generation of magicians and the present generation. There is a change in focus. In my era of working in magic, when I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, mm-hmm. is we did one act that was honed to perfection, and we did that one act for thousands of people for years. Now people do a trick once for thousands of people, and here is a card, now it's a watch. And now I go online and I buy a trick with a hole with a card. Next. And now I come up with another thing, and it's just social media telling you to buy magic, to push out, to try to get followers, so you can just have this endless parade of junk magic. And I think that magic is a deep philosophical art form, and there's other ways to express other than just trick of the week. Now, as Eugene said, there are many rooms in the House of Magic.
Sure.
And personally, when I go on and I see what's going on social media, it really rattles me. And that's where I go back to my library and back talking and having wonderful conversations with people like you. And
nice. You know, nice. Yeah. A good point. Well made. There are many rooms to the House of Magic. I mean, technically magic or art in general can accomplish as much or as little as people would like it to.
I just find the TikTok room really noisy, and I'm not really fond of the music.
Of the TikTok?
Yeah.
let's
go to a happy place. Let's go back to the workshop.
Back to the workshop. Just to help wrap things up, I was going to ask if there are any resources that you would recommend to people who are looking to expand their mind and get them in the right place for creating. That you can recommend, and finally, how can people find out more about Jeff McBride?
Well, I have a wonderful book called The Show Doctor, and that will make your magic better because it talks about best practices. And if you want to refine your technique, I have many videos that are available at magicalwisdom.com. And we have many free resources, and I hope that people out there who are ready, who want to take the next step, become members of the Magic and Mystery School and connect with our community, because membership has its privileges. And we have lots of resources available, not only for free to the magic world as our gift, but much deeper resources that are available to our members.
Excellent, excellent. So guys, check out The Show Doctor, the book. That'll also, I'll try to get a link for that, put it in the description. Check out the Magic and Mystery School.
We have classes online on many different subjects. This week we're teaching parlor magic and stage classics, but we have different live events here in Las Vegas. And for people that can't study with us live, we have the online school, and we offer financial assistance, scholarships and stipends, and we have a scholarship program, which you can find if you go to our website and do a search for scholarship and stipends. So there's opportunities for people that are even financially challenged. They can study at our school.
Excellent, excellent. And most of this can all be interrelated and found through, I would say, magicalwisdom.com. Is that correct?
Magicalwisdom.com, yes.
Yeah, magicalwisdom.com, guys. There'll be a link there below that you can click on. And we've had a great conversation here today with Jeff McBride right there at the Magic and Mystery School. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this episode of Making Magic. I appreciate all of the wisdom that you've shared with both my viewers and listeners. And I'm very grateful, and I hope people take the time to check out Jeff McBride. So thanks again, guys. You've been watching another episode of the Making Magic podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.